This is Daf Mem Zayin. We got to the last two lines of Mem Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara is telling a story now. Hahu Gavra Dezavan Nafshe Luludai. Interesting story. Person sold himself to Luludai. Rashi says is Uma She'ochen Bnei Adam. The last two lines of Mem Vav Amud Beis. So a person sold himself to cannibals, people who eat humans. So Asla Kamid Rabbi Ami. So somehow he was able to get out of captivity, even though he must have had like chains around him, and he was able to present his case to Rabbi Ami. Now I'm alive. So he says to Rabbi Ami, Pirkan, please free me. Pay me out of save me from being eaten. So Amalei, I can't. Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, we learned yesterday, Hamocher Atzmo Vezbanav Lov Dikachavim Ein Podinoso, Aval Podin Esabanim, Mishum Kekula Vekolshkein Hacha Dika Katla. So first he says, it sounds like he's first saying, I can't, but then he changes his mind, it sounds like. The Mishnah says, a person sells himself into slavery, you cannot redeem him, not him nor his children. But once he dies, you're allowed to redeem the children. But here, because of Kilkula, in other words, that he's going to Rashi says, Mishim Kilkula, but Mishim Kilkula Shalo Yutamu, but Ovdei Chachamim, if the children are left behind after the father dies, they stay among the Goyim, V'yilmadu Mimaseim, they're going to learn from their ways, U'bechai Avin, Leka Lameicha Shalachi Deminta Lahun Avun. Interesting. When the father's alive, the father's going to protect them, make sure they're following the halachas. But once the father dies, they're going to start rebelling. So at that point, you have to redeem them. But here, V'kol Shken Hocha, says the Gemara, here, Dika Kala, but since there's a concern of death, maybe we should really redeem even the father as well from this situation.
But then they would be eaten already.
unclear. We're going to see the next story also. Unclear how exactly
he's being a raya. This guy didn't sell his kids there. He's just him.
Himself.
Right. He's apparently being a raya from our Mishnah.
To say how he, for the guy himself. Question, Ricky's right. Saying, they must be hungry. How can they wait to give him some chance to go speak to Rami?
Maybe they fatten him up.
Could be. That's very possible. But then he shouldn't. Right, okay. So somehow.
He doesn't work out of muscle, otherwise,
right,
his mom would
have been. Right, that's true. So then walk to the Rebbe Ami, ask a Shiloh, but come back. So they must have a GPS thing connected to him. So the Gemara says, Amrulei Rabbanan and the Rebbe Ami. So Rabbanan challenge Rebbe Ami. They say, Hi, Yisrael Mumar, if you know who this guy is, he's a Mumar. We've seen him eat at McDonald's before. And the halacha is, you're not able to save such a person. Actually, the halacha is, such an individual, you're supposed to actually kill him. So the Gemara says, we'll see in a second what that means. Right? If you see, so the Gemara response is that Amar Lehu, Rabbi Ami says back to their bottom, Eima Leteavon Hudekachel, Abidan Lekaschus. The guy was a Baal Taiva, so he had some McDonald's there. But he wasn't a Mumar, he wasn't doing this Lahachis to go against the Yiddishkeit. He was hungry, have no self control. And Rashi says, Eima Leteavon Hudekachel, Velo Havi Min El Mumar. He wasn't a Min where he was an Apikoris, where there's a halacha to kill such an Apikoris. He was just, he was a Baal Taiva. So Rashi says, "V'minim who did Arminim Maridin Avalomalin." When it comes to Minim, we do throw them in the pits and we don't bring them up. About Mumar, Arminan Hasam Sami Mekan Mumar. So, but here he's simply a Mumar, not a Min. So, but then they respond back to him, "Well, you didn't know that Amrulei. We have Edim V'hazimnim Diika Heterav Yisurav Kame V'Shavak Heterav Ach Yisurav." Sometimes we've seen Edim have witnessed that he had in front of him kosher meat and non-kosher meat, and he opted for the non-kosher meat. That's a Mumar Lahachis, not Lateavon. A Mumar Lahachis is a din of a Min. And we can't save him. So in light of this, Amarlei Zil Lo Kal Shavik Lei Tafer Kinich. So he says to him, "I'm sorry, they're not going to allow me to redeem you. I'm trying to be down the Kapsulos, but there's all this pressure from all the Aguda, and I can't do what I want to do."
He's chopping it.
Exactly right. Says the Gemara, Reish Lakish Zavin Nafshi. Reish Lakish. Well, it's actually an interesting. That is on this piece. One second here. I saw something interesting in the back here. It was on the next piece. Fine. Reish Lakish, Zavin Nafshe Luludai. Reish Lakish decided to sell himself to these cannibals as well.
That was before.
Tosa says that. That's what Tosa says. Others argue, actually. Others say that Reish Lakish, he wanted to test his tshuva out. He did tshuva. Wanted to see whether he's going to be protected from this. Because you know, if your tshuva was done, he used to kill people. So if he did a full tshuva, he'll be protected from being killed. That was his test, and therefore you'll see at the end of the story, he had a whole simcha and a whole suda. He got so excited that the fact that he was spared from the story, I just gave away the end, showed that he did a full tshuva. He did this after he did tshuva. That's what some say. Right, the Teres Yaakov here says, he comments on the Tosis, he says, it wouldn't make sense to tell the story of Reish Lakish before he did tshuva. What's the gnus in telling this? So it must be talking about a case afterwards. He was trying to kill them. He wanted to wipe them out because they're causing such troubles. This was his way in. He was such a smart, strong individual. He ended up killing them. That's what the point of the story is. Okay. So the story goes on. So Reish Lakish Zavin Nafshilu Dai, he was willing to sell himself to the cannibals. Shaka Bahadei Chaisav Gilgalasa. He took with him a bag and some rocks. So Amar Gimiri Dioma Basri, there was a Mesora, the tradition that the last day a person who's about to be killed, the called by Minayo Avdilei, Kihecha de Lichel Adme. They thought if they were going to grant you your last wishes, and this way they'll get tshuva, they'll get mechila. They know what they're doing is wrong. But if I give the guy the last will and testament, so then they're going to have a full mechila. Okay, so this was the Mesora he had. So he knew he was going to have some last request. So Yom Abasher, the very last day, he's about to be killed. Armi Lehi, so they say to him, so my nichalacha, what would you like? What do you want? A nice piece of meat, some wine, what would you like on your last day on this earth? So Armi Lehi, he says, Ba'ina akam tinchu vosfincha, I want each of you to be tied up. I want you each to be sitting down. V'cholchad minayichu, each one of you, amchei chaisa palgei, I'm going to hit one of you 1.5 times. So, okay, so that's the rule. The Masora was that you were going to get your last request. Kam tinu vosfinu kochad minayichu, they did that. They tied everyone up and they all sat down. Kad machia chad chisa nafik neshmase charka lishineu. So when he Reish Lakish hit one of them, he killed them. Chisa nafik, their chias, their neshama left. And charkinu lishineu, he made, it sounds like Reish Lakish had made their teeth chatter in a way that it sounded like they were laughing. So his response was, it seemed after they died, he says, Amr lei to the guy who just killed, but pretending he was alive, Achuka ka mechaisa, you're laughing at me? Because I hate you, you don't think I'm strong enough? Ka mechaisa bi? Akati pashcha gavi paga di chaisa. I still have another half of a blow to hit you. So the next guy walked in, said, this Reish Lakish is nothing, I'm going to also take a beating from him. So they didn't know that he killed the previous guy, so one by one, he ended up killing all them. Kalu kul, he killed all them. He left and he ate and drank. He was very, very happy.
That's a cool guy.
Right. that definitely. You put together all the stories of him. There are a lot of different stories of him.
Throughout this. Should be a safer, I believe.
Isn't that how
Maaseh
of
Reish
Lakish?
Yeah,
jumped over the whole thing.
Reish Lakish was once
the
Gemara.
Right?
He was swimming in the river, and Reish Lakish, he was so strong. He had the same koach. He applied to Torah. Right. I said, I'll give you my sister. She's as beautiful as I am. He was willing to. He did tshuva and married her.
But then the whole fight they had
later. Between the two of them was whether a certain weapon was considered kli for tumah. Reish Lakish says, you would know better because you used to be a murderer. Yeah. So they got a whole fight. They got insulted, and then. He killed him, so on and so forth. Then Reish Lakish was upset. There's no chavrusa for him anymore. Okay, so this was the cool Reish Lakish. So he was very, very happy. So according to the pshat that he was testing himself, the Tikkun Shovim, the Sefer Tikkun Shovim, how to do tshuva, says he was testing himself. He was so happy. That means he did a full tshuva. The fact that he was protected from this event, that's why he was so happy. So then what goes on, Amri Le Barta, so his daughter says to him, Lo bais midid lemizga alayu. So apparently Reish Lakish had no property, he had no possessions. So he said, do you want something to lie down on, a blanket, a mattress, a pillow, something? Amri Le Biti, he says, my daughter, Krisi Kari, I have my own stomach, my own belly to lie down on. Meaning he didn't have anything, he was okay without any possessions. Kari Kinach Nafshe, when he had died, Shavik Kaba de Murikana, he left over a small amount of Marika, I'm not sure exactly what Marika is, something, a very small amount of possessions. And Kari Anavshe Vazu Lachem Chelim. And he said upon himself, I left over some Chelim for others. So he was upset that he left something over. I mean, he'd rather leave nothing over. So what's going on here? So Rav Moshe writes from here, we see that there's no obligation for a person to work very hard and leave over money for his children after he dies. When a person's alive, he has an obligation to serve, to feed his wife and to feed his children. But there's no obligation to leave over money in the fund, in the estate, that his children have continued money. So he'd rather not waste any money, because if he had extra surplus, that means he put too much effort into making parnasa, he should put that effort into learning. So he was upset he had some extra possessions over. That's what comes out of this Gemara. Now, Chassam Sofer has a beautiful, beautiful drasha based on this Gemara. He says this whole drasha, Reish Lakish, is really a discussion of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, a person, he's coming to attack the cannibals who eat the body. That's what the Yetzer Hara is, the cannibals that eat the body. And he brings a whole drasha how this compares to how we're supposed to fight the Yetzer Hara. We're supposed to come and trick the Yetzer Hara and hit the Yetzer Hara and fight the Yetzer Hara. This is the Mechama of the Yetzer Hara. So it's very interesting how he connects everything.
He says that this is not a real story, or is it, aside from being a real story,
It sounds like Alpi Drush. It sounds like Alpi Pshat, this happened. But on another level, you could also make the Drusha to apply this to the Yetzer Hara. He says, what it refers to here, when a person has to bring, Let me go where this go again. So he explains, what does it mean, chayisa palga? You bring the bag and you bring the rocks. That refers to limud haTorah v'kriyashma. Those are the two ways that you fight the Yetar, by learning and Shema based on the Gemara and Brachos, that a person's supposed to do that. And what's the mechza? That's referring to the day of his Yom HaMisa. The Gemara says in Brachos, if a person's trying to fight his Yetarah, he should learn. If he can't learn, he should say Shema. If he can't say Shema, he should remember the Yom HaMisa. So explain that each level of this Gemara refers to those stages of the Gemara and Brachos. Okay, let's go back. The Mishnah tells us now, HaMocher es HaSadeh L'Ovid Kochavim, a person sells his field in Eretz Yisrael to a guy, Lokach, who maybe mimenu bikurim ifnei tikkun olam. This person's obligated mi takanas chachamim that he has to go purchase fruits from the first fruits of this guy who he sold the land to in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of bikurim. He has to buy those first fruits of this season. So it says Rashi, halchi garsina lokeach maybe bikurim bechol shana tzarch likeach min ha'ovid chacham. Every year from this point on, he has to buy the bikurei peroseh bedamim yukarim. It's going to be very expensive, the first fruit of the best, I guess. And in fact, he's very limited what he wants to buy, so the price is going to be very expensive. Umevin lishlam, that is the takana. Why? That's the knas. Why? Mipnei tikkun olam, says Rashi, shelo yehei ragel limchor karka be'eretz Yisrael lo'ovid chacham, as to not regulate people to selling land in Eretz Yisrael to goyim. Vegam im macher yetriach lachzor achris liftos. And then he has to go ahead. If he sells it, he has to go find the next guy who he sells it to and chase after. This is the Kanas.
But it's not actually Mechuyiv.
Not Mechuyiv, right. Actually. So we're going to see in the Gemara whether or not there's a Chiyiv Bikurim or not. Is that a Chiyiv in the Raisa Bikurim? But in terms of the selling the property, it sounds like there's no Isser in selling, but still, it wasn't a good thing, and therefore there's a Kanas that they had created.
That's interesting. It's a very light Kanas.
I don't know. I mean, it could be very expensive. If you have a farm and you know this guy wants those first fruit and no one else wants it, you're able to, like, buying the house, selling the house next door to the shul. The shul wants it to build. You know the guy wants it, so you raise the prices to twice, three times. Right.
I mean, that's what happened, but the guy never sold it.
Right.
He did sell.
I'm saying you asked too much, he got stuck. Yeah. He would have been a mensch.
Okay, Gemara says, Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Afa pish ein kinyan lovei kochavim meret Yisrael, even though lafkia midei maiser, even though there's no kinyan, a guy has no kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, at least there sounds like there's some level of kinyan, but not a kinyan enough to uproot the chiv, the kedushas aretz, the chiv maiser. Shenamar ki li haaretz, the pasuk says, the land is mine, Hashem says, it's my land, li the kedushas aretz, the kedushas is mine, no matter who owns it, the kedushas is always there, so there's always a chiv maiser. But they do have the rights in terms of using the land that they can make pits and they can ruin the ground if they want. That Hashem has the Shemaim, but the land was given to a person. So was it Lifnei Adam or is it Lili? So that's Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi rather says, there's a distinction. When it comes to the usage of the Kedusha is still there, there's still a Chiyah Meiser. When it comes to the Hishtamshus, that's given to Adam. That's why they're the right to build in Boros, Shechin, Umaros. That's all according to Rabba. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Afa Pishi Yesh Kinin Lov de Kachavim Beret Yisrael, Afgia Miyidei Meiser, even though he argues they do have the right to be Kona property, and that property can be Mafgia from the Chiyav Meiser. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Degan Chavlo Degan Avod Kachavim, the Chiyav Meiser only exists on your grains, on the Yisrael, on a Jew's grains, not the grains of the Kachavim. Aval ain kinin lovi kacham, but there is no kinin for lovi kacham merit to sell achbar ba boris shichin maros. They don't have the right to build holes and pits and stuff. Exactly opposite. Shemar la Hashem haaretz. The Hashem has the ground, and they all bring different psukim to prove their points, though. So Gemara wants to know what is that exactly? Is machlokas here whether or not a goyim's land or fruit is chayv mice or not? So mamai kemiflagi mar savar de gun halo de gunna. Dagna refers to the actual grain. It has to be owned by a Jew, not by non-Jew. That's exactly why you're pater. If a guy owns the land, there's a patur meiser. The other judge says, not digunch, it's diguncha. Diguncha is the making of the pile. We'll see Rashi in a second. Not how it grows, but who's the one who finished the process of all the grains when I take it into my house and I'm doing meruach. If a guy were to do that meruach, that would be pater. Only if a Jew does it. Mm-hmm. If a guy owns, let's say, the tua, and I do the diguncha, it would be chayv meiser.
Let's say you sell sadit to a guy, so he's not going to give meiser.
Correct, but there still exists a chiyuv. So how does that play out?
If I
buy fruit from that guy, I would have to take meiser.
Uh-huh.
He violates no iser.
Right. Uh-huh. So whoever buys fruit.
Oh, it's kosher. Right.
Exactly.
So when we do Shemitah,
if you rely on that, right?
Yeah, on the.
So I'm not sure. Yeah, when it comes to, if you're relying on the Bezdin, so they have a whole other approach that no one's working the land. That's Shemitah. That's not an issue of Meiser. There's no Meiser during Shemitah years.
No, but it's the same principle. Meaning if the Kedusha doesn't go, then what does it help to give it to a Goy?
Right, no, so this is part of the issue.
Uh-huh.
Part of the issue is that. I don't know that sukkah. I'm not learning that sukkah. I never learned that sukkah, but I think it's part of it. Whether you're allowed to sell the land, there are other Yisroim also of selling land to sell aside from this. This is just simply the Kedusha and Meiser, but there are other concerns also. but that's part of a larger discussion. Okay, the Gemara says, now, Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Minam Aminallah, how do I know this to be true? Which point is he trying to prove? Let's see in a second. So he says, the Mishnah tells us this Mishnah appears in Peah, that Haleket Vashich Vapeah Shel Ovi Kuchavim Hachayavim Bemeiser. Elam kin hifker. The halacha normally is, let's say I have a land, a Jew owns a land, so if there's leket, shech, and peah, and the ani picks it up, any of these three cases of matnos aniyim, the ani has no obligation to take meiser on this. If he buys it, or he takes it from the field, that's chayav meiser. But once it's considered leket, peah, shech, and peah, there's no meiser because it's hefker. Rashi says at least because of hefker. You see, Rashi, leket, shech, and peah, why is there no chayav meiser? Stam on hefker upturim min ha'meiser. Stam, okay, case of hefker. The guy, he forgot about it, even though he was obligated to leave it. He has to leave a corner. He has to leave leket. He has to leave shechem. It's still considered a din of hefker, and hefker is patur min ha'meiser. Shenemar, how do I know that to be true? Uba ha'levi ki ein lo chelek v'nachla v'imcha. The levi who has no land, he's going to come with you. B'mi she'ein lo chelek v'nachla imach, yatu eilu she'esh lo b'hem chelek v'nachla imach, shuri aflo hein mufkarin. Gemara is going to explain what this means. What Rashi says here, this Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in general, why is leket shech and peah pater min ha'meiser? Is it because it's hefker or because it's a special gzeiros hakasav? That Machlokes appears several places in Shas between Rashi and Tosfos. Either way, we'll take Pashup Shan Rashi that it's because of hefker. So now when a goy owns it, the goy has no chiv leket shech and peah. So when something is left in the corner, there's no din of peah there. He has no obligation to do peah or leket or shecha. Unless he actively says it's hefker, one has to take meiser on it. So we see from here, though, Pashas is what Gemara will explain in a second, but Pashas is there's a chiyah meiser. Even though the goy owns it, there's a chiyah meiser. The owning of the goy is not mafkia the din of meiser. So Gemara says, what exactly is the case here? Hei chidamim. Ilei madli, so if the Jew owns the farm, ulektinu ove kachavim, and the goy were the ones to collect it, El imkein hefker, only if it's hefker, only if the guy who makes hefker, is there no chiyah meiser. Ha mifker mekayim, what do you mean? It already is hefker. If I own it, I'm the Jew who owns it, by definition, peah, leket, shechem, peah are all hefker. You don't need the guy who buys it from me to also make it hefker. It's already hefker from the beginning. So that can't be the case where I own it and a guy collects it. Ela lav dovi kochavim. Must be a case where the guy owns a land, v'lektinu Yisrael, and a Jewish ani picks up. And the reason why there's no meiser from the Jew's perspective is taimai de hefker, because the goy was mafkir. But halo hefker, if he was not mafkir, it would be chayiv. Even though the goy owns the land, there is still a chi of meiser.
Then doesn't apply the term leket shecha peah.
Einachanami, it's not leket shecha peah, but he tries to...
He tries to, he says, I
see all the Jews are doing this, I live in Eretz Yisrael, let me do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't realize what he's doing. The Gemara talks about these cases of a goy doing... Petach Hamor, and a guy doing Hafrashas Chala. The Gemara does talk about this in different places as well, so it's not a crazy, crazy thing.
But so, the Jew is picking it up.
Right, but it's a guy who left over the payah. He left over
The Jew just sees the field with the corner and figures, oh, this must be for me.
So you're saying from his perspective, it looks like a payah.
Yeah.
How he would know that which lands are owned by different people? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know the lay of the land so well. So either means that it's viewed as leket shechapeh from the perspective of the Ani Yisrael, even though it's not actually, or maybe the guy was trying to imitate what all the Jewish neighbors were doing. So either way, it has to be a case where the guy owns the land, and if he's not mafkir it, then there's a chiyah meiser. So that's how Rabbah proves his point above. That Rabbah was the one who held that there is no kinin for ovi kachavim lafkia mide meiser. There is still a chiyah meiser, even though a guy owns it. So Gemara says, you can't bring a proof from this Mishnah, lo, liolam the Yisrael, maybe really a Jew owned the farm. And the guy was the one who collected it. with the kamris ha mifker v'mkaimi. So the fact we said, why do you need the guard to be mafker? Wasn't already hefker the moment it was fleket and peyah shicha? It already was hefker. You don't need the guard to also be mafker. The Gemara said, nehid mafkir adaita di Yisrael, adaita dovi kochav mi mafkir. When I, as the Jewish owner of the farm, was mafkir my leket shicha and peyah, that was only hefker with regards to a Jew picking it up, but never made it hefker with regards to a guard picking it up. So therefore, when the guard picks it up, it's no longer hefker. And he would have to be mafkir later on for it to be patur meiser. So this gets into a larger discussion. The machlok is beisil beishamai. If a person's mafkir only lanim, but not lashirim, is that going to be considered hefker or not?
Right.
You have to be. He mentioned that down the bottom there.
A little bit. It's also saying, according to Amshar, is that when you do mashen ken lekashem peah hanitanim. Meaning that the Torah itself already is mafkir.
So who cares who picks it up?
Exactly.
So it gets into that discussion. Right. And, you know, hefker in general also is hefker a siluk or is hefker hakna? So if it's a siluk, I'm relinquishing my ownership. It doesn't make a difference who picks it up. It's out of my ownership. So it should not make a difference if a guy picks it up. Sound like Pasha Pshat is that it's really a hakna, that it only becomes hefker if someone on the other end picks it. But if a goy picks up, the hefker is no longer hefker. So this is, again, a very big, I imagine the Rishonim all talk about this as a raya for all those different discussions. Gemara said, now Toshma, Yisrael shalokach sada me'ovit kochavim, a Jew boy buys a land from a goy. Ad shalo havishlish. He buys a land, and the grain begins to grow, but it's below the shlish. The shlish is at that point when there's a chi of meiser. So it's below the shlish line. There's no chi of meiser just yet. Then the Jew keeps it for a little bit. It grows to shlish and then sells it back to the guy after it already reached the chiv shlish, the chiv meiser. The law is chayav es b'meiser. It's chayav meiser. Why? Shekvar nischayav because it was already chayav when I owned it. It already hit the chiv meiser. So when I sell it, selling already existing chiv meiser cannot undo it. The case we were speaking about before was if I sell the land, there's nothing on the land. And then things grow while the goy owns it. That's the discussion. But when I have the land which is full of tevuah, and there's already a chi meiser, my selling to the goy, according to all opinions, should not undo the meiser. So the Gemara says, nischai ve'in, only because it already reached a shlish, and there's already a chiv, but lo, nischai ve'lo. But let's say I sold it before it reached the shlish, before there was already a chi meiser. And then I sell to a goy. It sounds like there would not be a chiyah meiser later on when it does reach the level of shlish. Meaning, when I sell my land to an eretz to a goy, it will be mafgia the chiyah meiser. That's what it sounds like. That's a deek the Gemara is making. The Gemara says no. Halcha b'mayaskinan b'suria. We're talking about Suria here. In Eretz Yisrael, ein hachanami. If I sell it, there will not be a good sale, and there's still a chiyah meiser. We're talking about Suria. Kesavar kivish yachalosh me kivish. Suria was conquered by David HaMelech. It wasn't conquered by Klai, so, and therefore was not considered an extension of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the same halachas don't apply. So it's a machlokas. The Gemara early in Gittin we saw this. So, but we assume, as the Ein Mishpa tells us, we assume kivish yachalosh me kivish is not considered conquering, and therefore it does not have the same dinim of Eretz Yisrael proper. And therefore, only if it already has a chiv beforehand, I sell to goy as a chayiv of meiser. But let's say I sell it before this tvua, and then he gets it, then the kinyan goy will be mafkia meiser. But that's only in Surya. But in an eretz sell proper, it's possible that a goy who owns it will not be mafkia the eretz from chiv meiser. Umar brings another ayah, Tashma, the last two lines. Yisrael v'ovid kachavim shalachu sada b'shutvus. The goy and a Jew have a partnership, they buy a field together. So what's the status of all the fruit? If the goy owns it, it's all, what the Gemara will say, tebel v'chulin muravin tebezeh, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe thinks there's a mix-up. Every single stalk of wheat has mixed-up tebel from the ownership of the goy, but chulin from the ownership of the, rather, tebel from the Jew, and chulin from the goy. That's according to Rebbe, and there's no way to split this up. But Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel omer al she'ovid kochavim patev shal yisrael chayv. Whatever the guy picks up, it becomes his. There's Breira, so that becomes Pater, that's Chulim. And whatever the Jew picks up, that becomes Chayv and Meiser. So Gemara says, right, exactly. The Gemara says, what's the Machlokas? Here, Ad Kan Lo Pligi Ella Demar Sovi Yesh Breira, Marsa Ein Breira. What's interesting, by the way, this Gemara is not brought usually with the Sugyas of Breira. Whatever the discussion of Breira is, this one's not typically brought. Just pointing that out, but this does go in that same discussion of whether there's Breira or not Breira. So the Gemara says, again, according to Rebbe, there is no Breira, so therefore every piece I pick up, there is Me'urav within it, Tevel and Chulin. But according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he holds there is Breira, so whenever the Jew picks up, that becomes his, Lemafreya, it becomes his from the beginning, and that is Chayiv and Meiser, it's a Tevel, and the Goy, whatever he picks up, becomes his, because there is greater. A vowel comes out though to Chuliyama Yesh Kinyan Lo Vekachavim Beret Yisrael Lahafkiv Miyad Ma'isa. Everyone agrees. Even Rebbe agrees that whatever ownership the goy has, it does make it chulin. There's no Yisr Tevel there. We just don't know which is his.
Right.
But really, fundamentally, the goyim were to have do have the ownership, and there is Mafkiv Ma'isa. So Gemara says no. Hachav Nami Bisrei. This too is in Surya. Ukasaver Kibush Yachal Loshme Kibush. No, they have a kinyan in Chutzlarts in Surya that will be Mafkia, but in Eretz Yisrael it's not necessarily Mafkia the Chiyah Meiser.
So again, so we're talking about a case where the part of the goy he takes, if the goy sells it, people have to take Meiser. That will be the answer.
Say so if a
Tachlis, I mean the difference would be that if they're partners, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi, whoever buys from them has to take Meiser again.
It sounds.
Or the owner has to take Meiser of everything.
Right. Rashi talks about how this works exactly. It gets a little complicated how to deal with Rebbe when everything's mixed together. Because
right.
You can't take something that's Pater Meiser with something that's Chai Meiser
right.
And vice versa.
Complicate.
So Rashi talks about how exactly to go about dealing with Rebbe Shita. It's mixed up. And the Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abin Toshma, they bring a raya, Hamocher Sadeu Lovid Kochavim, a person sells his field in Eretz Yisrael to a goy, Lokeach, or maybe Bikurim, the seller, as the Mishnah taught us, has to go buy the first fruits of each season, Mifnei Tikkun Olam. Mifnei Tikkun Olam in, Midiraisa lo. It's only because of Tikkun Olam. But Midiraisa, this is what you're pointing out before, Midiraisa sounds like there is no obligation, sounds like you are Mafkiya of any Kedusha. There is no Chiya Bikurim on a Deraisa level. The kinyan of kachavim is mafkia the kedusha. Where it says no, Amar Vashi shte takaros havo. There were two different stages. Mikara hava maisi midiraisa. Initially, what happened when you would sell your land to a guy, midiraisa, there's a chiv kedusha, there's a chiv bikurim, and you'd have to go ahead and get it. But kevan the kachazi the kamikre umazme the svar sabi bekedusha sayu kaimen. So then they started seeing people sell their land. They said, there's no problem with me selling my lands to a goy because there's the kedusha still there. The fact that I need to go take the buy the fruits and bring it for Bikurim tells me I didn't take away any kedusha from the land. I'm allowed to sell. So they started selling more and more now. It's like there's nothing wrong. There's no penalty that's going to get in their way. I'll sell my land, make money, and I'll buy the fruits from them the first year. So once they saw that, takinu, lehu, they made another takana, delo, laisi, not to bring. And realize when you sell your land to Eretz Yisrael, you're removing the Kedusha, and there's no Chiyav Bikurim anymore. They're okay, the Chiyav Bikurim of a Deraisa level. But once they started seeing that, Kevin Dechaz demanded Lo Sagile Mazin, some person who didn't have any money, he would sell his land, he needed to have some cash, but come a shock and Biyadu Vikachavim, they said, I'll sell it to them and let it stay in their possession, because there's no Chiyav Mai, there's no Chiyav Bikurim anymore. They have to switch things around. So Hadar Takinu Lo Dilaisa. They said, okay, now you have to bring. So with the Mifnei Tikkun Olam means that they're uprooting the initial Takana and reverting back to the initial Deraisa Chiyav of there being Bikurim on any Jewish, non-Jewish owned land. Okay, fine. Hope that was clear. Gemara says, Itmar. Hamocher Sadeh LePeros Machlokes, that appears a few places in Shas. A person sells his field only with respect to the fruits. So you could have the fruits, but I have the title. So what's the status? Who has to bring Bikurim? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevi Vikari, that the Lokeach, is who gets the fruits, has to bring those fruits to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim rather, and do Mikra Bikurim. Reish Lakish Amar Mevi Veinu Vikari. No, he has to bring, but he doesn't have to say Mikra Bikurim because it's not really his land. What's the Machlokas here? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevi Vikari, why does he read? Because Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guftami. In order for you to do the Mikra Bikurim, you have to have title. So having Kinyan Peros is enough to be considered Kinyan Haguf, and it's considered you having title.
When you're saying maybe, you're talking about Hamocher or the buyer?
The buyer. The Mocher is not allowed to. It's not his fruit to use anymore.
He sold the fruit.
He's looking about Hamocher.
No, so it says the Mocher?
I'm saying it says Hamocher Sadio Lefeirot or Yochanamer maybe Kukor.
Ah, right. The guy who sells, I hear.
The Lashon is clear that it's. I also think it's the buyer, but the Lashon is very strange.
It's definitely the buyer, but that's a good point. The Lashon is strange. It should be Halokeach Sadio.
Right.
Okay. Granted. Okay. I don't know how to touch it, but that's the way it should be understood. That's what I assume Rashi doesn't say anything here actually about that. The Rashi says lokeach.
Right.
Okay. But that is an interesting point. So Reish Lakish comes along and says, Amar Mevi Veinokari, he does not do Mikra Bikurim, Kinan Peres Lav Kinan Haguf Dami. Having ownership, the rights to the fruit is not considered Kinan Haguf, and therefore he does not say the Mikra Bikurim. asks the Gemara, Eisivei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan holds Kinyan Peretz is Keguf. He holds, Uleveischa, to your house. What do you mean, Uleveischa? The Pasuk says on the side here, it says, B'samachta b'chol atov asher nasan lecha Hashem elokecha Uleveischa. What's Leveisecha mean? Your friends base of Zu Isha the Mishnah says in Yuma. So Veisecha Milamit Shadam Mevi Bikure Isha Vakare. That a man brings for his wife the Bikurim and could also do Mikra Bikurim. So what's the challenge here? Ah, her field I don't own my wife's field. I have the rights to the Peros, but there's no Kinyan Guf. How could I do Mikra Bikurim? It must be that Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guf. That's the Raya or the question Rabbi Yochanan brings to Reish Lakish. So Amr Levi, Reish Lakish responds back, Shiny Hasan Dichsev Leveisecha. No, it's a special Gzeres HaKasev. In general, Kinyan Peros is not Kinyan Guf. There's a special Gzeres HaKasev that says, but for a wife, that Kinyan Peros will be considered Kinyan Guf, but not in general. So that's how Reish Lakish gets out of that question. Ikadami, others have a different presentation of this back and forth, that Eisvei Reish Lakish, Lev Yochanan Reish Lakish, asks the question to Reish Lakish, Uleveisecha, Malamed Sha'adam, maybe Bikuri Isha, that Vikare, a man can bring his wife's Bikurim and do Mikra Bikurim. Hasam Hudikhse Levesecha, only in that case, because it's a special Gzeres HaKasev, is Kinyan Peros considered Kinyan Guf of Abba Amalo. But in general, Kinyan Peros is not Kinyan Guf, and that's the question to Rabbi Yochanan. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan responds back, Taima Didi Nami Mahachim Nekamina. What do you mean? My whole basis for Rashid is based on this, meaning, just like the wife, Levesecha, tells me that a wife, the Kinyan Peros of a wife's property is Kinyan Guf, so too, in general, Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guf. Okay. Marnell says another kasha here. Eisivei, Hayaba Baderach Bikuri Isha Biyada. Guy is walking along the way, and he has his wife's Bikurim in his hand. Vishama Shemesa Isha, and he finds out that his wife dies. Mevi Vikare. He's able to continue to bring and carry out the shlichus, even though she had passed away, and mikra do kriya as well. So mesa in lo mesa lo, only because she died. But had she not died, then he would not be able to do the mikra bikurim. Sounds like this is against the drasha above, not against either one. It sounds like it's a general question. And Rashi explains, because now that she dies, he's yorisher, so now he's kinyan haguf. But had not been for that, kinyan peros would not be enough. So again, this is a kasha for both of them, I think. Because both, even Rabbi Yochanan, even Reish Lakish will agree, the Gzeres HaKasev Uluveisecha, they'll agree, that case you're allowed to bring the wives and do Mikra Bikurim. So I just want to clarify that this is a question for both of them. No, Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan. I guess at this point he's rejecting that Gzeres HaKasev. So we see here, only because the husband's Yorish her, it does become a Kinyan Guf. But had she not died, it would only be Kinyan Peros, and he would not be able to do Mikra Bikurim. Where he says, no, not true, lo. Who adin dafagav delo meza? Even if she didn't die, he could still do Mikra Bikurim, because Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guf. So why teach me the case dafka if she dies? Umeisa is tzirich lei. We have to teach the case that even if she dies, he could still carry through the shlichus. I would have thought, ligzer mishum de Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Maybe there should have been a room here to make a gzera of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's concern. What's Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina? Dama Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, bitzaram, bishagran, biyad shliach. So Batson's referring to, he collected the fruit, the grapes usually he's referring to, bishagran, biyad shliach, and he sent the grapes with a messenger. I assume this is referring to performing bikurim here. And he sent it in the shliach's hand, ume shliach b'derech, and the shliach dies along the way. So what happens now is, so some other guy has to pick up the Rashi explained, me shliach b'derech v'chazer v'evin hu batzman. So the guy himself, the mishalach, said, okay, I guess I need to go collect my fruit and bring them myself. So he goes up, meets the guy wherever the guy died halfway along the way, picks up the fruit halfway on the path, and takes it the rest of the way to Yerushalayim. So the halacha here is, maybe v'enokore, the initial owner, the mishalach, does not do mikra bikurim for his own fruit in this scenario. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'lakachta v'veisa, you're supposed to take it and you're supposed to bring that. What does that mean? The taking and the bringing has to be by one person. Since this was broken up by another individual, the shliach, and then he himself later brings it, there's a disconnect, and therefore you're not able to fulfill it. So here too also,
the shliach wasn't going to say, what's going
to
be
called? Exactly. So it sounds interesting. Shulcha shalom kamoso, he's able to do this. So if shulcha shalom kamoso, shouldn't he be able to take it the whole way as well? It should be viewed as no disconnect here at all. Why is there any disconnect?
So this is only, everybody agrees with it, or it's only Yossi Ben Chanina who says this?
I'm not sure if others, but this is brought down the halacha.
Oh,
yeah, it's an Amish, but brings it down halacha. Now, what might be interesting is that even if you assume the most extreme formulation of Shluchah Shel Adam Kamoso, it's as if the person himself is actually there.
Right.
Once the guy dies, though, so then that relationship is severed. It can only work as long as the guy's alive.
But the question, because this is not logical. It's just a limud from the Pesukim, I guess. That's why.
In a Hanami.
Because otherwise, even if he died, it doesn't make sense because he never lost ownership of the.
Granted, but I guess let's say what would happen. Let's say he never dies. If he didn't have the pasuk, so then it would be okay. You brought it. Right. You could have 10 people bring it.
Right.
But let's say, Kate, let's say the guy never died. I sent it with him. I say, you know what? Let me take it over. Halfway through, I go ahead and I pick up the bikurim and I continue.
Right.
Is that considered one or two?
Right.
In that case, you might say, Shluchah Shel Adam Kamoso, there was never a point where that was severed, that relationship. And that would be considered one person bringing it.
Right.
Maybe only the case where he died is it considered as that relationship was severed, and now there's a pause in time. So either way, what comes out of all this, so just like in that case, when the Shliach dies, so therefore you can't take Bikurim. So maybe here as well, when the Mishaleach, in this case the wife, dies, that's also going to serve as a disconnect. And that's considered two different people doing the. It's not two different people. The Mikadin is one person. The husband does it the whole way. But maybe there should be a gezerah. If we allow the case of the Mishaleach dying and the Shliach who's still alive to say Mikra Bikurim, maybe in a similar case where the Shliach dies, maybe you would think you should also say Mikra Bikurim there as well. So lest one confuse the case, whenever either the Shliach or Mishaleach die, we should say there's no Mikra Bikurim just as a gezerah. Come to teach me that now. We're not concerned there is no gzeirah. If the wife dies, if the mishleach dies, the shleach, as long as he's still alive, he's able to continue to carry out the shlichus and do mikra bikurim.
Well, this was only a havamina?
Yeah, this is all a havamina. Now, again, though, the halacha is true when the shleach dies. The havamina was to apply the case of a shleach dying to the case of a mishleach dying. Okay, should we go a little ahead now? How much time we have? 7:40. This is a good stopping point, but we can also continue. The Gemara ends up saying that Azdu l'tamayu, that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish go again according to the general shitas about Kinyan Peres being Kinyan Guf. All right, we could stop here, I guess. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Kinyan Peres is the Kinyan Guf.
According to Rabbi Yochanan, but Reish Lakish argues.